Advisory services through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor member, FINRA/SIPC.
Good morning, America. Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group. Hope everybody's doing well. I was driving to Citizens Bank this morning going down Greenmanville Avenue, and I saw a guy who's no spring chicken in his 50s jogging about 20 minutes ago. I wanted to yell out the window, dude, you are playing with fire, because it's approaching 90 degrees and humid. Yes, I took the day off yesterday and took my bride up to Evergreen, which is an outdoor shopping area. And I'll be honest with you, I wanted to walk outside as much as, you know, I'm genetically built for 55 and rain, you know. Thousands and thousands of years of Irish in me, and I like the rain. I like 55, 60, but a lot of you like the heat. But please be careful out there. It is extremely warm. We've got a great show today. We're going to talk about a lot of things, but the name of the show is Retirement Life and Investing, and the phone number, if you'd like to call in, is 860-464-9490 on Long Island, 631-317-1949. I'll know that accent if you call in from Long Island, because I'm a native New Yorker also. Enjoyed the Yankee Red Sox game last night. Well, you know, I am a Yankee fan. I know a lot of you Red Sox fans are a little frustrated, but you got two ace pitchers coming up, and so we're going to be hopefully hitting that long ball still. But two well-matched teams. Love baseball. Love the fact that the Yankees Red Sox are going at it again. It's a lot of fun, and I enjoy it. My business, O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, is in Mystic. It's at Exit 90. My website is www.obrienretire.com. And we are on 94.9 News Now. And I've been reminded by my engineer, Chris, to say it as often as I can to tell you what radio station you're at. So what is going on out there this week? The market really got weak this week. It got nervous about tariffs. I think the other thing that was affecting the market negatively short term was the price of oil. Oil started shooting up. Apparently the Saudis and the Russians are talking about controlling the output. Hot weather means natural gas might shoot up, so keep an eye on that. That's very, very interesting in the short run. The growth stocks, the millennials, took it on the chin. I think they were a little ahead of themselves anyway, so it was about time some of them got knocked down. Rates are holding pretty steady. We haven't seen a big upswing in rates since we did in the spring, and I think the tariff talk is muting any rate increases for now. The other thing I'm seeing out there is there's a lot of jobs. For the first time in a long time, I've got people calling me saying, hey, I got openings. I went on LinkedIn. I have a LinkedIn page. And got talking to a lady who runs all the inventory for CVS up in Providence. She says, I'm looking for people if you have anybody. I talked to a recruiter who's recruits in the healthcare industry. She's looking for people. I talked to people at Charter Oak. One of the managers of a branch there is in my B&I group. They're looking for people. So send me your resume if you want at dobrien@ifgrr.com, and I'll forward it, all right? And I do it all the time for people. I try to help people. One of the soft spots I have is anybody's out of a job looking or looking to upgrade, I try to help them. And there's nothing in it for me. I just think it's the right thing to do. There's nothing worse than not having a job, and I like to help people any way I can. And the other thing I want to talk about, and feel free to call in at 860-464-9490, because some days when it's hot like this, it's nice to have someone to chat with and talk about. I'm going to start working on a book, and I haven't named the book yet, but the fundamental idea of the book, and I'm going to write it while I'm on the air, not literally while I'm on the air, but while I'm preparing for the different shows. I'm going to write the book as I go, and just because I want to help people. I'm so frustrated by the fact that half the country doesn't have $1,000 they can put together. And $1,000 in the book will be called mini bricks. Now, a mini brick is going to be a small little brick, and you picture a house being built by the bricks, and your financial mansion will take a certain number of bricks to be built. A full-size brick is $10,000, okay? So if you accumulate 100 bricks through your life, that's $1 million. That can be in your house, land, rental properties, cash, investments, whatever. It doesn't matter. So every time you get a brick together, a mini brick together, and you get 10 mini bricks, you get a whole brick. And as you develop these, and as these bricks build up, you save $20,000. That's two bricks. $50,000. That's five bricks. That includes your 401ks. So say you have $330,000 in your 401k and you're 50 years old. That's 33 bricks. Okay. And I think what we're going to try to do in the book is talk about how we can graphically picture the financial mansion you're trying to build. And I use mansion because it's catchy, and I couldn't care less whether it's a mansion or a hunting cabin or a house down in Florida or wherever you want to build. All right. But the point is this financial mansion, brick by brick, is going to take discipline. It's going to take patience. It's going to take you and your spouse working together. You and your partner, whoever, or you by yourself. It's something you're going to be able to teach your kids. And also, I'm going to develop something in the book called a net worth score. Now, everybody knows what a credit score is, 450 to 850, anything over 750 is great, super, 650 to 750 is good, below 600 on the credit score is, you know, not so good. And we hear the car ads, hey, if you have bad credit, call in, we'll get you a car no matter what, blah, 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 blah. Because they know these are the people that probably don't have any money saved, are in trouble. They get the credit card solicitations. They may be hopping from one card to another, trying to get the 0% and all that crap, okay? So I'm going to develop something called a net worth score. And your net worth score, instead of keying in on the debt side of everything, which they have us so hooked on, you got to have a good credit score. No. Credit score is fine, but that's about 20% of what's important. The other 80% is your net worth score. So by using the brick-by-brick approach, remember, a mini brick is $1,000. A whole brick is $10,000. Okay? If you say at the end of, I want to retire with $2 million, that's 200 bricks, and you're 26 years old, well, at least now graphically you have a goal. You may hit it. You may not. You may way exceed it because you started a business. And we'll talk about starting a business on the next break also. But these are the things that graphically I want you to start to think about. As I write this book, I'm going to have to also get an app so you can track brick by brick how your financial I'm going to have to do some architecturally modeling here to help you develop this mansion. But what I'm trying to do is get you out of this credit score, credit mentality and back into the brick by brick building your net worth score. And your net worth score is going to be determined by a lot of different things, which I'm working on right now. But your net worth score is not built on a specific net worth. It's going to depend on your age, your cash flow, your amount of debt, blah, 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 blah. But we're going to get into that, too. So have any questions, give me a call, 860-464-9490. Dennis O'Brien, President O'Brien Retirement Investment Group. If you want my Retirement 10 Commandments, call me at 860-415-9490 or email me at dobrien@ifgrr.com. See you in a few. Everybody, Dennis O'Brien, President of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group for my Retirement 10 Commandments. Go to www.obrienretire.com. I'm more than happy to send them to you. Well, let's get back to it. The name of the show is Retirement Life and Investing here on 94.9 News Now. And we are talking about investing. We're talking about retirement. We're talking about life. And we're talking about how can you build up your net worth through the years. To build up your financial mansion brick by brick, just like building a home to last, there are no shortcuts. Brick by brick, the home must be built slowly but steadily. Principles like saving for the future in automatic mode, spending only cash, avoiding debt at all costs, and working together with your spouse or partner to build your financial mansion brick by brick. Built correctly, it would allow you to weather any storms that come along and will teach your children and grandchildren the road to true riches, which really are teaching the values that we used to all hold dear, which was patience. Don't buy anything until you have the money. Don't be buying things on time. There are things you're going to have. I get it. But for the most part, those principles, those old-fashioned principles, I think are catching on. And I think people are catching on and learning. I think the millennials are smartening up. I think a lot of them are saving like crazy, and they're getting the word out on them. Now, many of you know that the fastest road to true wealth is starting your own company. But unlike anybody else who starts their own company, many people don't realize that starting your own company to become rich is a sure way to, is a sure road to disaster. And what do I mean by that? If you want to become rich and you discipline save brick by brick, that's one thing. But if you start a company just to become rich, you'll probably fail. And I'll tell you why. The people that are the most successful in starting companies, from what I've seen, are people that find a problem that people are having, figure out a way to solve it, and figure out a way to get paid solving it. Okay? So the first thing is so you open up a restaurant on a road with 10 restaurants. I see this all the time when I worked on Wall Street. I'd come up on the subway at 86th Street in Yorktown, Yorkville, and I'd walk to my apartment. And week by week, I would see restaurants change. It would be there one day, and the next, 3 months later, closed, gone, and moved on, okay? Because most of those restaurants weren't solving a problem that people had. There were plenty of restaurants. There were plenty of favorite restaurants. The population was transient. People came and gone. There was no, most of the restaurants didn't have anything that set them apart, you know? It was just another dream of someone who wanted to own a restaurant. That's not how it happens. If your dream is to own a restaurant, that's great, but you got to give people something special. You got to have something that no one else has, you know? Even Five Guys, it probably makes for the buck the best burger you'll ever have. They've been closing up restaurants in the area because they oversat. Even Starbucks, who grew and grew and grew, they're starting to cut back on stores. So everything goes through growth phases and whatnot. Now, let's get back to how do you start a company and who, and I'm going to tell you a story about this guy named T.J. Parker, who grew up working at his counter of his father's pharmacy in Concord, New Hampshire. We became frustrated by how much customers were struggling to keep track of their medications. He went to pharmacy school, but rather than take up the family business, he and a friend set out to change it. In 2013, he launched an online pharmacy from Manchester, New Hampshire, of all places. On Thursday, the 32-year-old CEO sold his startup to Amazon for approximately $1 billion deal. The name of the company that he had started was called PillPack. And it was the reason he started was so frustrated people couldn't keep track of their prescriptions. He wanted to create a faster, simpler way to deliver medicines. And by last year, he had said that they had hundreds of thousands of monthly paying customers on track to generate more than $100 million in annual revenues. The company's genesis traced back to an entrepreneur competition at MIT, where Mr. Parker was in pharmacy school. He teamed up with a friend named Elliot Cohn, an engineer who was pursuing an MBA at MIT. The duo put forth a nascent idea for PillPack and won the competition, according to Zhen Xu, a Boston-based venture capital guy. He knew Mr. Cohn and was a fan of the duo and the ambition. He goes, I gave him a blank check. This is the venture capital guy. And it helps build your confidence and get other investors. It was a very clear vision on what they wanted to do. And ultimately, they raised $120 million from investors, and including a startup accelerator, Techstars, according to PitchBook. We believe it's very easy to take medications as prescribed. People will do it, Mr. Parker wrote in his blog last year. For folks with chronic conditions, research shows that medication adherence goes a long way to achieving health goals. It's a simple premise. Well, it's been a dizzying rise for PillPack. When it received its first large slug of investments in 2014, a $4 million infusion was valued at just $9.5 million, according to PitchBook. As it gathered steam, more money flowed from large venture capital firms like Accel Partners and CRV. And by 2016, investors put in money at a $360 million valuation, according to PitchBook. After all, it collected over $118 million in venture funding. One of the company's earliest investors, David Frankel, a Boston-based Founders Collective, wrote a post in the website Medium on Thursday, last Thursday, that the company showed promise when the two founders, who complemented each other. T.J. Parker cherishes beautiful design, but has the bearing of a doctor, he wrote of Mr. Parker, while Mr. Cohen was able to master the technical challenges behind the indispensable pill dispensing solution. Their vision and progress made for a compelling pitch, he wrote. Before going to pharmacy school, Mr. Parker worked at his father's business, which supplied medicines to nursing homes and long-term care facilities. The business grew quickly and eventually amassed its own fleet of delivery drivers, giving Mr. Parker an appreciation of the logistics involved in drug delivery. He said in a 2015 interview with technology news site Pando.com. While attending Massachusetts College of Pharmacy and Health Sciences in Boston, he started taking fashion design classes at nearby Massachusetts College of Art. His design school stint was short-lived, but the expertise, he said, inspired PillPack's concept of simplifying medication regimens by sorting pills into so-called dose packages, dispensing from a small box in baggies marked with the date and time they are to be taken. It turned out to be a billion-dollar idea. So he saw a problem. He hooked up with a guy that could help him with the technical side of the problem. He pitched it to various investors who believed, who liked the deal, liked the idea, knew the clear vision of it. And as it grew and grew and grew, he eventually sold the company. And now we're talking about, what, 5 years later to Amazon? So even the big companies like Amazon, they're looking for these young guys. And there's a young guy or gal in a garage right now with an idea. I am telling you, this country, and they made immigrate to this country with an idea, and they can't get the idea off the ground in their country. But in this country, all you need is an idea and be able to pitch it. And if the venture capital guys start seeding you, I mean, you know, if it takes off, it takes off. Now, not everybody succeeds. There's some very smart people that have to agree that you have something special. But the key to it was Mr. Parker wasn't trying to become rich. That's a byproduct. He was trying to solve a problem that especially older Americans had with keeping their medications, because a lot of people just forget to take them. You know, I take supplements every day, and I have a little, you know, one of those pill, little pill, 7 day pill things and stuff. You know, if I forget to put it in my suitcase that day, you know, I see Friday's open, Friday that they're still there, my supplements. No, it's nothing major, just, you know, fish oil and, you know, cinnamon and seven or eight little things. But I find they help me. And my cholesterol has gone down greatly by using it natural way. And the doctors love to put you on the pharmaceuticals and everything, and I'm not arguing against them. But I prefer to do it the natural way as long as I can, personally, okay? Which has nothing to do with, really, this topic. But the point being is that he's found a problem. He was frustrated that he couldn't help people, and he created a better solution. And that's really the key. If you see it's something out there with some niche that you can help start a company and help people, that is something. And this whole brick by brick idea is kind of a play on that, where I see a problem with people being swayed. We are so inundated with commercials. Cars want us to buy this credit card and, you know, get this card and get this debt. More money spent hooking these our citizens on debt. You know, these kids are 18 years old. They're getting 5, 6, 7 credit card solicitations every week, every 2 weeks. You know, I don't think older Americans realize the pressure that the younger generation has been under between college funding, the cost of, you know, cell phones. Well, that's pricey, you know. So these kids are under a lot more pressure, okay? And one of the secrets, I think, in many of the college, especially competitive colleges, is how I think they hide the suicide rates among many young students, 18 to 22, who have put their family under such financial burdens that if they fail or they struggle in school, very quietly you'll hear about these suicides, and especially prevalent among foreign students. I've seen it. So these pressures, this thing that's going on out there, we have to be very, very aware of it. I think we have to try to get the word out there that if you can build up your net worth brick by brick and be reasonable about spending money, anybody who leaves a college spending decision on a 17-year-old is out of their mind. I know you want to brag at the high school graduation where you're going to school and where this one's going to school. It's BS. It matters. Nobody really cares. And a year from now, half of them are coming home anyway because they partied, okay? And they're stuck with this $20,000, $30,000 in debt that they should have never put on in the first place because they went off to school and didn't know what they wanted to do. So, you know, really get your act together, figure it out. You can go to you can work locally, go to Avery Point for $8,000 a year for a year or two, figure out what you want to do, and every credit you earn at Avery Point goes right to UConn. So why wouldn't you do that if you don't know what your major is or what you want to do? Be smart, because ultimately, like marriage, like everything else in life, it's a financial decision, and you have to be aware of that. If you'd like to talk or do get a free financial review from me on any of these important decisions, please give me a holler at 860-415-9614 anytime after the show. I'm more than happy to set up an appointment and chat. I never charge you for talking and reviewing things. So let me know. Go to my website, obrienretired.com, if you'd like my retirement 10 commandments. And we'll be back on the third segment in a few minutes. Stay cool. Be back. Bye. Good morning. Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group with the Retirement Life and Investing on 94.9 Now News Now. Hope everybody's doing well this morning and staying cool. Please be careful out there. It's extremely warm, and it's going to get warmer, I guess, they're saying tomorrow. So if you have a friend with a pool, time to buddy up. Hey, buddy. Yeah, I'll bring some food over and we'll barbecue. Let's chop in the pool. Hope everybody's doing well. My number here, if you'd like to call in, is 860-464-9490. I just want to talk about some of the things we do at O'Brien Retirement Investment Group. And one of the key things I like to do is review all your statements, because when I review the statements, Many times, I can see products. People were sold products. One-time hits on, mutual funds were sold. Many times annuities. Haven't talked to the salesperson in probably 5 or 10 years. Don't even know if they're still there. And they come in with the statements, and I look back and see what's going on here and see if we can maybe run things a little more efficiently and definitely stay better on top of things and whatnot. So that's really the first thing we like to do, is look at all your statements and see what you got. The second thing I like to do is see what your debt situation's like, especially if you're in your late 50s, early 60s. I don't like anybody to retire until their house is paid off. Now, of course, not if it's up to you. If your cash flows are heavy enough and you can fight hard enough to justify the mortgage deduction that you'll get on your taxes, I guess it's fine. But ultimately, if you can get rid of that mortgage payment, that's like having another pension payment come in. So that's one of the things I look for, too, and try to get people to prepare for. And I've had couples come in and have no debt except a large mortgage, and they're both working 58. And I said, well, if you take one of the salaries, because your overhead's pretty low, and dedicate that to paying down the mortgage, you'll be absolutely debt-free when you both want to retire at 64, which is a wonderful thing. So those are the type of things initially I want to see. I want to see your statements. I want to see what debt you have and where you're at that particular point in time, because that's extremely important. That gives me a kind of an idea of what's going on and whatnot. The other thing I want to see is your documents, where you have the money, what type of accounts you have. Do you have IRAs? Do you have regular accounts? You know, all that sort of thing. So, because it's very important to know whether the money's qualified or non-qualified. Qualified money simply means you put that money away pre-tax, and that's either in an old 401k or if you were in a nonprofit, a 403b, or deferred, maybe sometimes deferred comp, or regular money just sitting in the bank that you pay taxes on. It's savings. You put it away, maybe inherited, maybe sold something, and just having regular money. We have a caller, Sam from Westerly. Good morning, Sam. How are you today?
Morning, Dennis.
What's going on, brother?
Trying to stay cool.
Yeah, it's pretty warm. Do you have air conditioning?
Last couple of years, well, I'm out of the house quite frequently, so there's no sense putting the damn things in the window. Because I'm long enough to have them, so I'm a pretty tolerant guy.
No, that's good. That's
just
good.
Open the windows and the doors.
That's good. That's good. Anything going on?
Hey, I like your idea of the bricks.
Yeah. Does that appeal to you?
I got a wager I'd like to make with you.
Sure. Go ahead.
Well, over a 20-year period of time when my wife used to like to go to the casino, you know, I got a pretty good idea of people up there, you know, making their investments.
Yeah.
Well, see, I know there's quite a few people that could probably take and buy one brick a month and then... You know, so it's not to cut off all their entertainment right away.
Right.
Although the casinos might not like it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the year, I'll bet you'll have a lot more bricks than you will left over from the casino.
So you'd rather have bricks and teepees, right?
Well, yeah. They won't be your teepees.
Well, you know, the reason I say that is sometimes we'll go up there. We're going up there tonight. I'm taking Lori to see Reba McEntire. So we made reservations at that steak place there, Foxwood Cedars,
uh-huh.
And stuff like that. So we just joke around about, you know, if you lost money gambling, you said you bought a teepee. You know, it's just kind of a silly joke, but you're right. A lot of people up there, there's a lot of people that come in from all over New England and New York, New Jersey area, and they gamble an awful lot of money.
That's a lot of retirement money and a lot of Social Security go up there.
Well, you know, that's the thing about America. You're free.
Yep.
If you're free, if you made it and saved it and that's what you want to do, that's, you know, you're free to do that. It's just disheartening when you see young people just starting out in life.
Yeah.
You know, drinking heavily and throwing down hard-earned money at these tables, you know. I think like anything else, anything done in moderation is good. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Well, just so long as you go there with the idea that if you come away with nothing, or don't take any more there than you're willing to walk away from.
Exactly. But you know there's 3 to 5% of the population once they start.
Yes. Yeah, it's the human condition.
We all know people that have, you know...
creatures of habit.
Creatures of dishabits, too. You know, so it's a... Well, please, stay cool, my friend.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, Sam makes a very good point. You know, a lot of people are, you know, some people consider throwing your money away. I don't know. It's really up to you. But when you do these reviews and try to build your bricks, really, there's two kind of bricks you're trying to do to build your financial mansion. The mini brick is $1,000, okay? So anybody can get one mini brick going. Just takes, you know, putting your money away. I don't care if you put it in a coffee can, but get that one brick, okay? And when you get that one brick, okay, cross that off, and then we'll work on the second mini brick. And before you know it, you'll have a whole brick, which is $10,000. $10,000, okay? Now, I don't care where the brick is. If the brick is equity in your home, if the brick is, you know, you collect cars and you have a valuable brick there. Anybody ever watched that TV show, Strange Inheritances? That is the coolest show. It's on CNBC at night sometimes, especially on the weekends. But it shows these inheritances that people have gotten from people that were, you know, gadflies. They were different. They had collectibles from things you would never expect. But I find it fascinating. But sometimes it's great value in those, you know, different not, I wouldn't say oddball, but just unique inheritances and whatnot. So the point is that a brick is a brick is a brick. So if you can, you can build up your net worth by watching your bricks to build your financial mansion, which is really retirement. That's what you're trying to do through the years and everything else. And I find that if I visualize it in a brick process, it seems to take on a whole new thing. Because a lot of things in money, when I'm talking to people, I can tell they just don't understand what I'm talking about. If I talk about rates of return, if I talk about dividend yields, whew, they just, what are you talking about? But when you start talking about bricks or something concrete, little mini bricks versus solid, all of a sudden they can identify with that. I think that gives them something that they can look at and whatnot. The other thing I like people to do is when they come into me with their statements, I like them to check their beneficiaries. I can't tell you how many times I've had an ex-wife or ex-husband on a 401k that's in six figures. And I said, are you aware that you still have what? So, you know, that's another reason why you want to consolidate things and consider rolling over old 401ks. They're estimating that some of these millennials are going to have between 22 and 42 jobs. I can't conceive of that. I don't think I have that many pairs of socks, you know. And they're going to have 22 to 42 jobs. So these kids, they're going to have accounts all over the place, and they're going to lose track of them. I'm telling you right now. And so I think it's very, very important to start, especially when you get into your mid-late 50s, start consolidating everything, simplify everything. Turn off your statements, have it on your phone or whatever. If you're a paper person, I get it. You know, keep your book, keep your statements. Some of you love paper, and that's great. But if you can avoid doing that, but make sure with your passwords that everything, you know, you keep track of where everything is and whatnot in one folder so at least you have everything. So that's one of the things I also wanted to talk about. So on the next segment, we're going to do a little 4th of July quiz for you brainiacs out there. I'm going to ask six questions. Whoever gives me the first right answer on the call-in can win something. I have no idea what you're going to win, but we'll figure it out. Tell me what you want. We'll take it from there. But in any case, go to my website, obrienretired.com. I'm located next to Steak Loft, next to the gas station across the street from Steak Loft, if you ever want to come in to chat. Talk to you in a few minutes. This is Dennis O'Brien, the Retirement Life Investing Show on 94.9 News Now. Thank you. Dennis O'Brien, President of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, O'BrienRetired.com, 860-415-9614, if you'd like to call me after the show and chat. But in any case, welcome to 94.9 News Now, Retirement Life and Investing Show. Well, Wednesday's 4th of July, banks are closed, markets are closed. I think the markets closed 2 o'clock on Tuesday, the bond markets anyway. So I got a notice from Pershing LLC, which is owned by Bank of New York Mellon, that holds all my securities, the largest custodian in the world with over $30 trillion in assets. So when Pershing talks, I listen. And they tell me that the bond markets are closing 2 o'clock on Tuesday, and they will reopen Thursday and Friday, but I suspect a lot of people will be in and out next week. They might work the first end of the week or the last end of the week, but probably not the whole week. And judging by traffic on I-95, half of them are coming up here. So Mystic was a zoo last night. Wife and I stopped in Bravo early and looked out the window, and it was like a traffic jam out there. It was pretty wild. But, hey, let's do a little 4th of July quiz and see how good you people out there are good with history. All right. I'm going to read off six questions, okay? And then we'll go back to each one, and it gives you time to think about all six questions. And if you think you got the right answer, you will win a prize, and I have no idea what you will win. So Take me on my word, though, that if you do get the right answer, I will find something for you mutually agreeable. But in any case, we'll go from there. Okay, the six questions are, which president was born on the 4th of July? Number two, which is the oldest delegate to sign the Declaration of Independence? Number three, which state had the most signers of the Declaration of Independence? Number four, how many signers actually signed the Declaration on July 4th? That's a good one. Number five, as our Declaration of Independence was signed in Philadelphia, PA, who was the president of the Congress? And number six, what two presidents died on the same day, July 4th, 1826? And I think a lot of you know that because it was in that TV series, but and whatnot. Okay, the first question, if you want to call in and ask, we'll just pick up and get the first person who gets it right. At 860-464-9490. Which president was born on the 4th of July? I think this is the toughest question. Now, I know you're all Googling it right now. Don't Google if you're driving your car, though. Please. Have the kid do it, okay? Please. Which president was born on the 4th of July? Anybody? Anybody? All righty. Let's give a drum roll. And the answer is Calvin Coolidge! Yay! He was the only president born on the 4th of July. I don't know if he was lucky or whatnot. Number two, who was the oldest delegate to sign the Declaration of Independence? Well, this is a good one. The number is 860-464-9490. If anybody would like to call in and answer this question, who was the oldest delegate to sign the Declaration of Independence? And nobody has called in, so now we will go to the drum roll. The oldest delegate to sign the Declaration of Independence was Benjamin Franklin. Come on, he was 70 years old when he signed it, and God bless him. He is someone we'll never forget. And okay, the third question. Which state had the most signers to the Declaration of Independence? Now, it has to be one of 13, right? 13 colonies. Which state had the most signers for the Declaration of Independence? Anybody out there can give me the answer? All righty, let's go to the drum roll. The state with the most signers of the Declaration of Independence was Pennsylvania, with how many? Nine. Pennsylvania had nine signers on the Declaration of Independence. All right, here's a good one. This is probably my favorite question. Number four, how many signers to the Declaration of Independence actually signed the Declaration on July 4th? Well, let's think about that. How many actually signed it on July 4th? Drum roll, please. And the answer is only two. Most signed it on August 2nd. Now, I don't know the backstory on that, but apparently only two signed it July 4th, and most signed it on August 2nd. So if anybody knows why they delayed or what the story was there, I do not know. But that's the answer, so we'll go from there. As our number five question, quiz, as our Declaration of Independence was signed in Philadelphia, PA, who was the president of the Congress? Okay. Who was the president of the Congregational Congress? What was it, the Convention Congress? What was it called? I can't remember the name. It had an official name. But who was the president? And since you're all busy staying out of the heat, I will give you your answer. Drum roll, please. Who was the president of the Congress when the Declaration of Independence was signed? It was John Hancock, who now has his own insurance company. So there you go. And the old expression, put your John Hancock there, that means your signature. So that is one of the phrases that came from the original Revolutionary War and whatnot. And finally, the last question, and this is the easiest. Come on, peeps. This question was covered in a very well done, I thought, historical document. It wasn't a documentary. It was kind of like a 10-part series or 5-part series. Can't tell you on who, because that's the answer. But what two presidents died on the same day, July 4th, 1826? What two presidents died on the same day, July 4th, 1826? Does anybody know the answer? 860-464-9490. 860-464-9490. The same presidents that died the same day, July 4th, 1826. Since no one is calling in, whoa, we got one. We might have a guesser. I was not going to say winner until he guesses. Let's see who it is. All righty. Do we have one? All right. All right, Sam, you got an answer for me?
How about Adams and Jefferson?
That's correct. Yay! We have a winner. John Adams and Thomas Jefferson died the exact same day, July 4th.
We got to get the correct Adams.
Yeah, it's true. There's
John
two of them.
Adams, not John Quincy.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And the beer is named after them, but they do not own it, right? Thank you, Sam. Well, you want something. What do you want?
My breath.
I think we can do that, all right? Hey, thanks for calling in, and I'll let you know, okay?
Carry on.
All right, take care. Well, that was funny. That was funny. So John Adams and Thomas Jefferson were both born, both passed away, sorry about that, on July 4th, 1826. And also John Hancock was the president of the Congress that when the Declaration of Independence was signed in Philadelphia. And what was the third one again? The third one was, I can't see here, but I think it had to do with how many people actually signed it on July 2nd, and it was only two because the rest signed it on August 2nd. So any of you know that story out there, I'd love to hear it because I kind of like that stuff and whatnot. So that's kind of cool. It's cool stuff, you know. And I think we're done now with the 4th of July. And I love stories about Pennsylvania having the most signers of nine, and the oldest delegate to sign the Declaration of Independence was Benjamin Franklin at 70 years old. And the only president born on the 4th of July was Calvin Coolidge. Calvin Coolidge. What a name. Calvin Coolidge. But, I'm so grateful to be born in this country and been lucky enough to live and raise my family here. I love traveling and seeing the whole world, but it's always good to come back to the U.S. of A. and whatnot. Uh-oh, Sam's back again. He's on a roll. Hey, Sam.
Dennis, I happen to think there was something else coincident besides the death on the same day.
What was that?
I think it was the 50th anniversary of, the signing of the Declaration?
Yeah, 1776 to 1826.
50th anniversary.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you nailed it. I think it was the 50th anniversary. Thanks, Sam.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye. See, Sam is paying attention. I don't know if he's Googling it, but he is on it. He thought of it, and that's a great idea. But just getting back to being born in America, I love seeing the world. I love people in every country. I think it's just amazing to travel and see and experience everything else. But truly, 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 I love our country. I think we have, some people, we get a lot of criticism for this and that, but I think we have the greatest country in the world. We're a hard country. Everybody works here. It used to be that way. Everybody is encouraged to work here. We're encouraged to get ahead. We're encouraged. Sometimes we're individualistic in a way that may hurt us when we need to help each other more. But we, in our individuality, we tend to live the life we want to live. We can marry who we want, or our marriages aren't arranged. Some people would argue they should be, but our kids are free to move. We are free to move. We can go anywhere we want in the country. We can see things. We can travel around. We can take an RV in the back of a truck and just go around and see everything in the country. It really, truly is an amazing place. I am grateful. I am very, very grateful. My father, Jack, in 1949, had the guts to get on a propeller plane and leave Roscommon, Ireland, and come to America. And I met my mom, and they had six, and I was the oldest of six. Got to go to college, got to work on Wall Street, Met a lot of crazy people there, but I have no regrets. Everybody I've met has taught me something along the way, good or bad. Some bad things on Wall Street. Some of those people, let's face it, drank a little bit too much, and they bottled up, and a lot of them passed and stroked out early and whatnot. But, you know, you're free in this country to be, you know, whatever you want to be. And raise my kids that way, to go out there and make their mark in the world and try to be a good person, operate with integrity, but at the same time, enjoy your life and brick by brick, build up your financial mansion. So my name is Dennis O'Brien. The Retirement Life Investing Show is now over for June 30th here on 94.9 News Now. Have a great week, everybody, and stay cool. Bye-bye now.